Men often find themselves blindsided by a culture that hates authentic masculinity, and many have given in and succumbed to the ever-evolving culture and woke society. But not us. We are the remnant, faithful Catholic men from three different generations who reach through the radio to tackle current events that challenge our wills and empower the practice of the Catholic faith through thought-provoking discernment and prayer. So, if you're feeling overwhelmed and bombarded, it's time to turn your radio up and join us for The Remnant on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Remnant here on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network. My name is Bill Snyder, and it's wonderful to be with all of you. As always, I am joined by my good friends and co-hosts, Ray Haywood and Stephen Thomas. And before we jump into today's episode, which is all going to be about the Gathering Stage Explored, I want to remind you that The Remnant Show is sponsored by the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group, and that you can visit fsjjourneyman.com to review the easy-to-follow resource documents and consider starting a chapter of the FSJ Men's Group in your own parish today. But gentlemen, welcome, and it's always great to spend this time together. So it's wonderful to be with you once again on episode 46 of The Remnant.
Happy to be here.
Good stuff. Absolutely. Looking forward to this time in fellowship. Yeah. So let's start by saying the Band of Brothers prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, help us to turn to you in humility and through obedience and discipline, place you back into our hearts, our wills, our families, our faith communities, and ultimately our public square, through the Holy Spirit, in the just model of St. Joseph, through the Sacred Heart of Jesus' name we pray. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Yeah, so today's episode, the Gathering Stage Explored. So working on some stuff with a couple of men here at the men's group, and we're exploring the gathering stage because one of the older men found that his family is off track, and now he's got a lot of resentment. He has missed opportunities from when he was a young father, and he now recognizes them. So we've been partnering up with some things, and the gathering stage started to become part of our discussion. So this is truly something that we're exploring, because I can't find what we're discussing here tonight anywhere. There's nothing like this that we're going to discuss anywhere that I could find. So this is really something that we're presenting, we're scratching at. And it's kind of like a beta run, even, that we, you know, if anybody out there has any comments on this, we'd love to hear it. So please reach out to us. And it's important that we do this type of stuff, and we prepare well the next generation of Catholics. And that's what this is all about. So be sure to listen all the way through, because the Remanded Challenges tonight, they're going to be worth listening to. So stick around, all right? This episode, it builds off of our last. Our last episode was actually, New Year resolutions, founded new beginnings. But what we discussed was how our new beginnings in our family life is supported by the church. And, the commands are the walls that protect us. And the order, form, and discipline that's found in the Mass, it places that order, form, and discipline into our young families. And that a lot of times is unaware to us. We're unaware of this. So this is kind of building off of that. So today we will explore the meaning behind the gathering stage of a man's life. Depending on how we are raised, the gathering stage can overlap many stages of the masculine journey. The gathering stage is not noted as one of the stages in the masculine journey because it does not affect every man's life. It is not part of every man's journey. One example of a young man who is choosing the vocation of priesthood speaks to this. Our spiritual fathers are still subject to every stage of the masculine journey, but have little to do with the gathering stage in their vow of poverty, chastity, and obedience. You know, if as we get into what the gathering stage is about, that'll make more sense. But this is not something our spiritual fathers actually touch on in their lives. So it's not part of the masculine journey. This is definitely a stage, but it overlaps many stages within the masculine journey, as we'll see as we move forward. And I believe the head of household stage of the masculine journey to be the biggest challenge to our young spiritual fathers. And one of my vital prayers is that we get an older spiritual father to write a book on how a young spiritual father can understand that when they're in the young adult self-awareness stage of the masculine journey, the place that they hold within their faith community is the head of household. So how could a young man who's not lived through that part of the stages of the masculine journey, it's like anything else in life. You have somebody that owns a business and they didn't come through the increased responsibility to get to the point where they could actually run a business. It fails. You know, we have these spiritual fathers that are young. They're not ready to get into that. They don't have enough wisdom or life experience to understand what the head of household stage is. But yet it's the stage that they hold for their faith community. It's challenging. Our spiritual fathers are challenged. We need to help them with this. Absolutely help them with this, you know. So, but for the men that the gathering stage does affect, can span through many stages of the masculine journey. There are no defined thresholds for the gathering stage, as it can be identified in the stages of the masculine journey. As I said, you know, we definitely have thresholds in the masculine journey. And if we understand what they are, we can actually find them and help ourselves to push through them. It's a beautiful thing to understand that. But for some men who are living in and of the world rather than in and of the word, those men are challenged with the sin of greed. And that sin, that sinfulness inside them, holds them unwittingly to the gathering stage their whole life. They don't realize that they're constantly seeking and searching for something that is never going to fulfill them. And then the lives of their families become victim to this, and it affects everything that they love. So, you know, when I wrote this down, when I was contemplating this, I can think of men in my life. I'm sure everybody out there can. That know of men that they're driven by greed. They're driven by, you know, just possessions constantly. Got to have more. Got to have the bigger house. And it's at the loss of their family. And one of the things I want to say, and hopefully I'll say it as we continue through this, is be forewarned that the formative years of a young family's life cannot be revisited. We can't go back. We need to be aware of this, and we have to be intentional as young fathers. So understand that the stages of the masculine journey is needed for healthy growth in every man's life. To learn more about the masculine journey, you can listen to episode 6 of The Remnant Show or go to trjfathersguide.com and listen to the podcast on chapter 1 of the book, Tools to Ready the Journey. And if you do go to that website and listen, it'll be me and Bill. Oh my gosh, what, 5 years ago? 4 years ago we did that, Bill?
Yeah, it was like 4 or 5 years ago. It's incredible. The Holy Spirit just continues to pour his grace on these projects, though.
It's amazing. Amen. So now there's another thing that I feel as though we need knowledge in, and that's rights and duties. So navigating the gathering stage is, you know, having awareness of rights and duties as a father, as a young man, as a husband, very important to have. So you could listen to episode 19 of The Remnant Show titled Rights Versus Duties to understand the powerful knowledge that this episode shares towards navigating the gathering stage. So let's get into this. Okay, the gathering stage. Wisdom shares that many well-formed young men lose their faith when they begin to meet the needs of the physical world and all its material attractions, while gathering slash providing for worldly needs. This, in a nutshell, is the gathering stage. They unwittingly trade tradition for trend in their physical lives, leaving no room for growth in the spiritual realm, simply too busy, too distracted by the chaos of the world. I was guilty of this, I have to say. It's not until much later on in the masculine journey that many men who, through humility, once again find value in the narrow path, start to see that their past misguided approach has wounded their families. They begin to realize that the secular culture and mindset has now blinded and separated their families from their true identities as beloved children of God. This difficult dynamic is extremely hard to unwind, but I believe if we share the importance of being an intentional father throughout the gathering stage with our younger brothers, they can make choices that we didn't have toward keeping their families close to the path through every stage of family life. You know, in our last episode, we spoke about how when we're young and we're starting our families, we're not close in our faith walk yet. This, you know, we have stages within our faith as we grow stronger and deeper and we become steadfast. It's the same within our family lives in this instance. So there's a lot to scratch at here. Let's explore some choices that a young father can make while in the gathering stage. Conscious decisions that can be made to protect the lives of their families while building up their communities. And for some, righting the wrongs of past generations. When I say that, I'm talking about the, family faith tradition being handed on that has nothing to do with sacred tradition. And, you know, how so many times in our men's group meetings, we have these young men that talk about cultural Catholics. I mean, there's a lot here. So choices that can be made. Mom, stay at home, sacrifice and do without the cultural norms of must-have possessions. Homeschooling the children. When I was younger, when my wife and I were raising our children, homeschool kids were weird. That's the way we looked at it. Now, I'm telling you, Stephen, I know you're laughing, but it's true. Now, my wife says she doesn't want to send her grandchildren. She said she would stop work to take care of her grandchildren. She told that to our son. Mm-hmm. Place order, form, and discipline into the household. Sunday is faith and family day, not for sports and activities. Observe Sunday and holy day obligations. Pray before meals. Teach virtue, especially charity. Most of all, as men, as fathers, we need to bless our children and say to them, you know, I bless you. You know, this is something that I'm starting to see a lot of young intentional fathers do. And it's a beautiful thing to witness. And I feel as though I missed that opportunity in the gathering stage of my family's life. I think that my sons could be much closer if I did that as a father. You know, this one father in particular, he explains to me how his children come to him at night if he should forget to see them. And they come, Daddy, you know, are you going to bless me? Think of how powerful that is. Let's focus on one that provides structure needed to support all of the rest, placing order, form, and discipline into the household. It is the parents' responsibility to discipline their children, while at the same time nurturing them. Acceptance of the suffering that this discipline may bring is needed for children to become well-formed adults. Man, I want to pause on that. Parents need to be intentional in placing order, form, and discipline into their families, especially if they did not receive this gift from their own parents. This example provides the simple answer to how we set a very successful trajectory for our family. If we just suffer through as parents, especially as fathers, you know, sometimes if you're a father of sons, like, you know, many times I've had to say to my wife, I'm their father. Trust me on this. They need this. She would say, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? You know, a mother is the nurturer. She's the heart of the family. A father, he needs to lead. And when he's a father of sons, he needs to make sure he measures out in proper doses what they need to know at the time. Sometimes those lessons are hard and they take sacrifice. And as Father Matthew Codd had said to me, a couple of years back, the father suffers. If you're a father and you're not suffering, you ain't doing a job right. The Mass is where we find the order, form, and discipline needed to navigate our first steps in the gathering stage. The Mass is the gift that prepares each generation towards successfully taking their rightful place in salvation history. Let's shift gears for a minute. Let's look in front of us. Let's try this for a minute. The gathering stage is getting longer and longer for each generation. The demands of the physical world on what the standard of comfort was for my generation proves to be way different than that of my father's generation and will prove to be even more of a challenge to my son's generation. The house I grew up in, we did not take vacations. We didn't. It was very rare. Day trips would take a ride on a Staten Island ferry. It was free. Well, of course, my father was gassed, but you know what? It's something I remember. We didn't have, you know, no cost family fun. My mother didn't work. There was one car in the household. Those are just a few to mention. Think of what is required in the standard of family life today. Let's compare some family dynamics difference between my father's generation and my own. Let's take a look at the contrasts. Meals were mostly cooked and eaten together at the dinner table. Now, fast food more than often is necessary through juggling activities. Mom walked. Everything, including family, was central. Now what we have is multiple cars, family members in different states. I'm telling you, it was community when I grew up. Everybody was close. 4th of July parties at my Aunt Catherine's house where everybody was there. It's just, everybody was around. Now no one's around. Add in the confusion of the worldly view of family construct and the challenges that future generations face, this seems immeasurable. Young parents, fathers who have knowledge of the gathering stage and its importance in family life can set a successful trajectory for their families, no matter what is going on outside the four walls of their home. We've all heard of the nesting stage in a young mother's life. We should all commit to making the gathering stage just as well known to our young fathers. Think about that. You know, when a young wife, an expecting mother is pregnant, all of a sudden she starts nesting. She starts doing things. This is a necessary thing. She's preparing. And it's a beautiful thing. And we all know of it. But this gathering stage that we're discussing here tonight, it's nowhere to be found. We need to make this an awareness. We need to be intentional about it. So, Bill, I'd like to ask you a question, and then I want to get to Stephen too. You know, what did the gathering stage look like for your father? And now with, you know, your young family, Elvin's what, 15 months now?
No, he's now 20 months.
What? Where did that time go?
I know.
He's 20 months. Oh my gosh. Bear with us. Tell us.
Yeah. So I'm going to share two stories with you that highlight my dad's journey in this whole thing, in this gathering stage. And so the first is when I was a young kid. I was probably about 4th or 5th grade. And I actually detailed this in my autobiography just a little bit. But, When I was young, I had some physical disabilities and had to overcome them. And so I had an occupational therapist who would come over the house, and he would help me do things like tie my shoes and help me carry lunch trays in the cafeteria and things like that. And the story is much longer about learning how to tie my shoes, but this is the point. After spending a full afternoon learning how to tie my shoes, I was so excited to show my dad, right? I was just overjoyed to show him when he came home from work that I could tie my shoes. And I'll never forget it, because what he did was he walked into the house and I just ran up to him, you know, being like 10 years old. I run up to him and go, "Dad, I can tie my shoes." And he says, "Okay, I'm going to come watch. Let me put my bag down." He puts his bag down. He, you know, forgets the world that was his work and watches me tie my shoes. And he had to sit there for like, you know, 45 minutes because I was so excited I could barely get the shoes tied. And that was beautiful, right? Like, you know, when I think about this, you know, he had time for me to take care of my emotional needs, my needs there as a young boy to encourage me. And I'll never forget, he said, "I am so proud of you." Like, he looked me in the eye and he said, "I am so proud of you once you get that done." And it's beautiful. So that's, you know, certainly one I can point to. And, you know, as you were talking, Ray, you know, I often, you know, went to mass with my dad. My dad was always at church. He always was there for Sundays, holy days of obligation. Like, that was important to him. And so it was beautiful. The other story I want to share with you is actually when I was a junior or a sophomore in college. I just finished my sophomore year in college, and he told the family that he was going to relocate us to Chicago. And he had just decided to take this job, and he was worried. He was nervous, you know, about what that meant for us as a nuclear family. And I was in college at the time. My my dad had just put on a patio in our house. He had just built this beautiful patio. The guy leaves like the next day after the patio is finished. He gets this job offer. It's too good to refuse. He needed to take the job, and he knew that. And my mom and dad had made this discussion and had this time to discuss this, and they made the decision to move. So he tells all of us that they're going to be relocating, and so are we, get out to the Chicago area from Philadelphia. And he was, I'll never forget what he said. He said, "You know, I love my little piece of America. I love my little piece of America, and I'm not so sure that I can leave this." And we're all sitting around a picnic table in our backyard. And I just looked at him and I said, "Dad, there's another piece of America waiting for you." And it was powerful because he, you know, he just knew, like, hey, my son gets this. Like, I know, you know, he understands this, and he understands what I am, you know, wrestling with here. And so, you know, it was kind of like, hey, Dad, it's okay. You know, it's okay to do this. It's okay to fulfill your dream a little bit. And, you know, it's led him on a wild ride, hopefully back to Philadelphia, where he's going to retire. But, you know, it was powerful there. In that moment. And I know he's shared that a few times with other friends and people, that was a powerful moment and powerful word from me to him, that it was kind of okay. And so, to go and improve the family. And he did it for all of us, you know, he did it for all of us. It wasn't about, you know, him getting ahead in the world. It was about, is this the right move for my family? And it was the right move for our family, and it was the right move, at the time. And it was powerful to hear that, I think, from that conversation that we had. And, you know, you asked, okay, how does it transition into my life, right? Like, how does it go into my world? And so, you know, I have the blessing of being a work from home dad, right? Like, there's not many dads that get that opportunity, I feel like, in today's world. And so, as a work from home dad, you know, I take the opportunity to put my family, you know, first. And I take the extra time with my son. I mean, even tonight, like, you know, we're getting ready to record this. Well, we're putting my son to bed and he's screaming, "Daddy, Daddy, you know, I want to give you a smooch." And those 5 minutes, the the 5-minute delay that it takes to record this versus going in and giving my son a smoocher, the things that he is going to remember. It's not, you know, did I make all of this money? It's not that I go and become a successful, you know, business person or a, you know, filmmaker or any of these things. It's, did I love my son and my wife really, really well? And so that is the most important thing that, you know, that I try to do. Am I perfect at it? Absolutely not. But I think young fathers, young men really just need to put their families first. And, you know, one of the things that gave me so much peace in this, and I'll just remind everybody of this, is that Deacon Ralph Poyo, a good evangelist and a friend, he said in a DVD I was editing for him, very simply, he said, you know, men are not to be providers. They are to be protectors. God is the provider. God is the provider. We are to protect. And it gave me all the peace in the world to remember that I am to protect my family. I am to be the one that stands in the gap. But God will provide for me and my family. And he might do that through me. He might be, you know, providing for my family through me. It doesn't mean I'm not supposed to work. It doesn't mean I'm not supposed to go out and do my best in the world. It just means that I'm supposed to put protecting above providing, because God is the ultimate provider. And so I think that, you know, if I can keep that mindset, then I know that I'll be, you know, a successful dad, a successful person in life, and not regret. Because, you know what, here's the thing. As you mentioned, Ray, like, where did those 5 months go? He went from 50 to 20 months like that, right? Like, where did they go? I can't get them back. And I know that I'm counting it. There's another like 15 months left and he's going to be in preschool. He's going to be going to, you know, a preschool class somewhere. So every moment that I get right now to be dad, I'm going to take, because it's not going to be here in another 15 months and I'm not going to know what to do, quite honestly. But yeah, I hope that answers your question there.
Absolutely. And, you know, you guys are so close to the path. It's beautiful to hear the experience of your dad, through our interaction back and forth. I know a lot about your dad. It's you're a lucky man, that's for sure. So, Stephen, tell me, what is what we're talking about tonight? We didn't talk about this before at all. So I can't wait to hear what you're going to share with us. What does the gathering stage look like for a husband of what? 5 months, 6 months? How long are you married now? Don't tell me 12.
No. We have a ways to go before 12. Let's see. It's about 7. Yeah.
All right. I was not that far off with you.
Yeah. No, it's what a fun wedding. I actually had some notes prepared, but I think I'm going to have to add something to the beginning, because Bill's story about his dad rings true for me, because I had to take a leap of faith, and my wife Hannah had to take a really big leap of faith for us pretty much as newlyweds to have to give up our little piece of America in North Carolina and come to Texas on what is a leap of faith that everything would work out here, so I can get complete doctoral studies, so I can get to that protector position. Is just one of those big steps along the journey. I wanted to come at this mainly first from a sort of not quite empirical perspective, but sort of give my analysis of where I think this issue stands in society from sort of a political perspective. And then I'll sort of narrow down to what I have observed, particularly as a young person in my own generation, because there's definitely some interesting phenomena, like Ray has said, that is definitely undercovered. In academia, we call that sort of a gap in the literature. There needs to be more said about that. So a few comments to start is that today, especially, that head of household position is very difficult, and it has been difficult historically, materially, for sure, always. But now we also have to deal with the societal constraints of that we are dealing with today. And I think part of the effect of first, we would say, the Reformation, and then gradually secularization, one of the things we notice is a shift towards material success as a sign of God's favor. And I think when you combine that with the secular trend, we've let go of our religious grounding, and we've lost our spiritual roots, but we're left with that desire for material things. And that's exactly what I think Ray is saying when he's talking about people who become consumed by greed, and they do that at the expense of their interpersonal relationships, and most importantly, those closest to them, their family members. And then as a note, I'll be speaking to a similar point at the Ciceronian Society's conference in March. So maybe a potential future podcast, we can maybe go over my paper and sort of look and see if there's a connection. But that was an interesting point that I had. And then further, what Ray mentioned about worldly living is, of course, absolutely true. And absent that religious grounding, we're just left with a materialist drive. And if that's running rampant, it ultimately comes to replace the highest good, which, you know, we understand as Catholics rightly to be God and union with God. And I've talked about that a bit in our little segment on hope. To replace God, to take God off the pedestal, is ultimately idolatry. We're idolizing something that doesn't deserve to be idolized. And without a proper grounding of our values as Catholics, you know, in our religious tradition, in our heritage, it's impossible not to fall into that and to go along with prevailing opinions, to be a slave to trends. I mean, we're a reed in the wind if we're doing that. What else would I like to say? So I'll shift gears here and look more at myself and about my generation, kind of where I see young people today. And these are my observations. I don't necessarily share these views, but this is what I see. So I'd have to say that the greatest challenge that I've noticed is not to be disenchanted by the secular bent of things. So in my generation, there's a big sense of, I would say, vindiction and also resentment in many areas regarding material things, particularly sort of economic matters. Young people feel like they've been dealt a poor hand, and perhaps they have, maybe not, depends. Currently, one of the statistics that I've seen is that close to half of people ages 17 to 29, they live at home. And that statistic has fluctuated, I know, with the last few years, but that's where I've seen it at lately. They're home, a lot of them, because they feel as though they can't strike out on their own. And I think many of them are resentful about rises in cost of living, and they perceive a lack of pay rises to go with that. And, you know, whether or not that's true in every case, that's the prevailing perception that they have. And that is a major factor in their being discouraged. Being a full-time graduate student myself, as well as having commitments to being a teaching assistant and then also traveling to and presenting at conferences, it gives me a lot of different things to juggle. And it's difficult to do all of that on a graduate student stipend. So that has definitely been a challenge for me to wrestle with that. So although my wife has to work in our sort of non-traditional situation, we both have the long-term vision in mind of where we want to be. And we've both understood the sacrifices that it takes in order to realize that grander vision. So I'll conclude with what one of my mentors said to me, and I believe it sums up my thinking. He said to me, "Don't let the best be the enemy of the good." So nothing is perfect this side of the grave. Now, that's a very Augustinian notion, but that shouldn't discourage us from both being good and making the attempt. We shouldn't let the thinking of, oh, I can't do this as well as I'd like, or, you know, I can't commit to doing this prayer every night. That doesn't mean give it up. That doesn't mean stop trying. That just means be good. Don't be the best. You won't be the best. Be good. So I think that's where my musings have taken me.
Good. It was very good. So listen, we chose. I think we should all take a shot at saying his name. I'm gonna say it last. Bill, how do you say our saint's name tonight?
Saint Joachim or Joachim? Either one, I believe, is correct.
Stephen, you take a shot.
I think Joachim, although I don't know about the pronunciation of J's in Hebrew, because I think Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua, right?
Yeah.
That translates over into the Latin with an I and then a J in English. So I don't know. Joachim, maybe?
Joachim.
I was listening to some YouTubes. Let me tell you, reading things, even said, you know, there was ways to say his name. So I've heard it heard said Joachim. I've heard it heard Joachim. You know, there's so many different ways. So I believe the correct way, or the way I've heard it in the past, at least the thing that rings true to me, is Saint Joachim. Does that sound right? Well, anyhow, so Saint Joachim is the father of Mary, our Blessed Mother. There is no mention of Saints Joachim or Anne, the parents of our Blessed Mother, in the Bible or Gospels. What we know of them has been passed on through sacred tradition. See how important sacred tradition is? That deposit of faith, it's placed here because we need it. So it is obvious that the Mother of God, Mary, had good, faithful parents who raised her with love and devotion to God. Saint Joachim serves as a role model for all fathers to emulate in his devotion to God and Our Lady Mary. So, without much to go on, I started to think about what Saint Joachim's life could have looked like. You know, this is, you know, I was spending some time trying to figure this out. I think it's awesome because this is what I came up with. You know, I started to think about Saint Joachim as being the father-in-law to Saint Joseph, and being a possible role model to Saint Joseph, that Saint Joseph could have found counsel and even possibly been guided by Saint Joachim as a young father. Talk about getting a great father-in-law, huh? How about the son-in-law? How about that for a great son-in-law? You know, could you imagine the love that bound these two men together? Our Blessed Mother, just beautiful. So then I started to think about my in-laws, and what I say is, I say in love rather than in-law. And when I reference my mother-in-law, I always reference to her as my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law has heard me use this term many times over the 34 years I've been married to her daughter. I believe this term of endearment has had a positive effect on our relationship over the years. That's an understatement. I'm not even kidding, man. You say something like that, women react. You call mother in love, means something. The truth is that I first mentioned the term mother in love because of my love for Natalie. Irene, my mother-in-law, holds her place in my life through my love for Natalie. Joined in the sacrament of marriage, not through a law written into a civil ceremony, right? Love written in the hearts of two becoming one. Divine love. My mother-in-law is a mother in love to my love for my wife. With this awareness, I encourage young husbands and fathers to consider using this term of endearment, even if your mother-in-law is challenging. In my eyes, it is the love of your wife that is being professed when you use this term. It will definitely help with the relationship with your wife's mother, too. And I'm a witness to that. So I'd also like to share another little tidbit is that my wife's father's parents are Joaquim and Ann. And that's pretty cool. But so I just like to hand this off to the next guy. But before I do, I want to say St. Joachim, father in love to St. Joseph, pray for us. Amen. Who's next? Who's up?
I think it was me. Yeah, I mean, that makes me think, you know, if I refer to my mother-in-law as mother-in-love, I'll get some sort of reaction, I'm sure. But yeah, I mean, what this makes me think of, we definitely don't have a lot to go off of as far as biographical data with Joachim. But in a sense, I don't think we need to. I think that Joachim and Anne's daughter, you know, namely Mary, Mother of God, is all the evidence we need that they must have been incredible parents. I mean, that's what you do is, you know, you can tell a well-raised child had incredible parents. It's just the natural fact. Like that's just what we have to go off of. And that just goes to showcase the fact that the parents' presence at those key moments, like we've talked about throughout this episode, they have a lasting impact. And that is felt through generations. Like begets like. So that is a subsequent thing that carries on for who knows how long. A long time. Bill, how about you?
Yeah, so for me, and I love that, Stephen. First of all, I really love that because, you know, and think about it, what you just said about how it begets life and love, it just keeps going and going. I mean, look at the example of the Blessed Mother in our faith, mm-hmm. right? And how far that has gone, how many generations it has touched, you know, 2000 years. Think about how many incredible generations that is. But, you know, when, for this saint, the reason why I like this for this episode is because, you know, I was thinking of the Blessed Mother again, and the fact that she was preserved by a miracle, right? Of original sin, she was preserved to that, but you know, completely by a miracle. We know that as Catholics, that the primordial grace of the cross was shared with her prior to, her birth, Immaculate Conception. But here's the thing that I really think about with Saint Joachim, and it's this: that Mary avoided personal sin her entire life. So it was miraculous that she certainly, you know, was preserved from original sin, but then she had to abstain from personal sin throughout her entire life. And yeah, she had a leg up when it came to the original sin. But think about the example that Joachim had to be and Anne had to be to provide an environment for her to remain that way throughout her entire life. Even when she left, the foundation was so strong by her father. And her father must have witnessed and mirrored the Heavenly Father so much that she was able to answer, yes, I will take the Son of God. Like, that's what I think about so powerfully here. That when, you know, Joachim was focused not on the things of the world, he couldn't have been, in order to raise a daughter that says yes to bearing the Son of God. You know, like, that's mind-blowing to me. So I think Saint Joachim, while we don't know much about him, and I said to Ray off the air, I said let's put some words in his mouth, you know, because we don't know much about him. But that's beautiful, because we get to, you know, reflect and think about this, you know, each personally throughout the day. or the week as we're putting together the show, right? Because, you know, it allows us to meditate on somebody's life, like St. Joachim and Anne had to be. They both had to be, you know, in this environment. So I want to roll into my Remanent challenge as well, because I first of all, I want you to really go back and listen to this episode. As Ray said, you know, there's not much content out there like this, and it's hard to find. And so play on repeat this episode a couple of times, because there is so much in here. We have really shared a lot that I need to go back and listen to it again, just to grow as a man. And so I encourage you all to do that. That's, you know, challenge number one for me. Number two, I would say, you know, meditate on some moments in your father's life. Take a moment and meditate on them and think about those formative moments and where they were, and how you, if you are an earthly father, can carry that legacy forward. You know, like I was just thinking about earlier with my dad, you know, pick one or two moments and think about, hey, how can I intentionally put this into my, you know, son's or daughter's life? And how can I stand up and be a protector? And so I think if you do those two things, you listen to this episode again, and you just simply reflect on some areas that your dad was strong in your life, and maybe he wasn't, but, you know, maybe then use the antithesis of that. Say, oh, you know what? There are some two bad examples here. How can I be better? And so those would be my Remanent challenges. How about you, Stephen or Ray?
I think I'm next. So mine had to deal, my Remanent challenge mainly deals with sort of a how to escape the rat race, so to speak, you know, and none of us are really immune to this. And I know particularly for myself, it's really hard not to be rote in all the duties, because my particular line of work, I don't really get hours on, hours off. Like the reading that I have to do, I can, if I don't plan well, it drags into the night. But it's hard not to set aside, it's hard to remember to set aside time to break out of the rote routine and practice some mindfulness and return to prayer. So that'll be the basis of my challenge, will be to utilize some resource. I in particular often use the sacramental pause, which you can find online. But my remanded is to do a mindfulness prayer daily for a week to help to break out of that rote routine. And at the end of that week, evaluate using an examination of conscience, which, again, you can find many different resources either at your parish or online for that. And then if you feel necessary after that examination, utilize the sacrament of confession. Ray, how about yours?
Yeah, wonderful. So my Remanent challenges is for us older men to recognize and share with our younger brothers the mistakes we made during the gathering stage of our family's lives, to make known to our younger brothers that many young men lose hold of their faith when they start out on their own and enter the physical world and all its material needs and attractions, leaving the spiritual realm behind. Man, oh man, think about this. I'm sure every guy out there listening can think of men that have fallen into this area of, you know, this gathering stage that we're exploring here. That the reality for many of us is that our misguided approach in the gathering stage of our lives has led to mistakes that has wounded our family, especially for my generation. I know my father's generation. We need men who could recognize this and actually change the trajectory of their families in front of them. Like, if you learned bad behavior, or, you know, you recognize that you shouldn't be mirroring what you learned from your father and what your father seen from his father, guess what? It's time to make a change. And that type of change is not easy to do. That for many of our children, they just live unintentional cultural Catholic lives, just going through the motions of family, faith, tradition that has absolutely nothing to do with sacred tradition. At its weakest point, C&E Catholics. Everybody knows what that is, right? Catholic Christmas and Easter. That is, men, especially fathers, we need to seek out and understand what the gathering stage looks like in every stage of the masculine journey in our own lives and in the lives of our family. We achieve this through building up our families and communities in the deposit of faith and all that it shares. Man, oh man, pause on that for a minute. And in the knowledge that this is something I've been saying over the last couple of episodes, and I think it's important, I'm going to place it again. So goes the church, so goes the world. As men, we need to commit to recognizing and humbly placing authority back on our altars in the hands of our spiritual fathers, our Eucharistic face of God. If we become steadfast in this conviction, we will then gracefully be given authority back at our kitchen tables. This is another thing that we have to change. This is not a behavior that I don't see it any. This is something that is lacking in our faith communities. We need to change the trajectory here. We need to recognize and put that authority back on the altars. We need to support our spiritual fathers. This is something, this is a need. This isn't a want. Hopefully, that in our efforts, the next generation will mirror our actions and become steadfast in their resolve. Boy, oh boy, wouldn't that be beautiful? So I got a couple of announcements, just some housekeeping. And the men's conference is coming up on March 18th. And now if you will go to the Diocese Men's Conference website, you could actually find the Novena to St. Joseph that's going to start on March 10th. It's actually posted on the website now. It's beautiful. Take less than 5 minutes for you to read the diocese-wide intent and to say the Novena. It'll take you less than 5 minutes a day. I encourage you, brothers, step up, step close to the path, shoulder up with us in that, and we're going to say the 18th, when the men's conference is actually the eve of the Feast of St. Joseph. So we will say day 9 together at the men's conference. It's going to be beautiful. And the last thing, and I'm sure that Bill's going to follow up on this for us, please consider to donate.
So doing that is real important, folks. We don't exist without the support of you. And so Carolina Catholic Media Network, head over to the website, carolinacatholicmedia.org. And you will be able to make your tax-deductible donation to us. It's very easy. There's a donate tab right on the front of the website, so do that. And I encourage you to visit all of our ministries and websites that you see pop up on the bottom of the screen, underneath our name slates. Please, please visit our ministries and our websites, because this is what, ministry looks like. It's, three guys that are banding together to change the world and just, impact hearts and minds and souls in their own little way. So please do that. I know that all of us have, stuff going on. We're all busy, but doing that really helps us and helps you too. You learn more about your faith and you can grow closer to Christ as well. So folks, I encourage you to follow, like, support us on social media by going to the CarolinaCatholicMediaNetwork.org. And until next time, may God bless you and your families.
Thank you for joining The Remnant today. For more information about us, email theremnantshow@gmail.com. That's theremenantshow@gmail.com.